Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Oh, Ben Crenshaw, it's so good to hear your voice, and I am so excited because we're going to be talking about Lahaina this morning. I do want to give you some tee times. A Volcano Golf Club, it's a nice 56 degrees, probably not as humid as it is across most of the island chain. 836, 928, your tee times. Makalei, where the Sano wedding party is underway. There's the 908 and a 1040, and maybe it's a little bit early for it to be underway, but it'll be there. Aeration at Poipu, there's a 930, a 10 o'clock, and then it's open. So take advantage of this $80 price at Poipu where they've aerated. And that's a really good time to, like, you know, work on your putting. You can read the green. Turtle Bay, 910. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 9 o'clock. Eva Beach Golf Course has a 1016. And the Golf Widows are going out there. Wailea has a 1040. And we've got aeration on the gold course. Excuse me, aeration on the emerald course. There's a 930 and a 940. And it's sold out today on the blue course. Congratulations. That's always a really fabulous feeling for a golf course management company. And Maui Nui, there's a 936 and a 1016. So what's the weather like? Yeah, partly sunny, windward and Mauka side, scattered to numerous showers this morning, isolated showers in the afternoon. On the leeward side, south side, for instance, isolated showers in the morning and then scattered showers in the afternoon. The high today, again, 90 degrees. The trade winds are with us. They're supposed to get up to 15 to 20 miles per hour. That should take care of some of this humidity that we're experiencing. All right, I've got a really great show for you lined up. We've got Claude Brousseau, PGA Master. He's going to be giving us putting tips. Talk about aeration. Steve Pike is coming in. He's just back from one of his amazing trips to goodness knows where. Guy Kulukukui is going to give us a lowdown. The Aloha section of PGA had their business meeting, and we're going to talk with him about that. And we've got two of my favorite people checking in, Pete McPartland and Stephanie Smith. They'll be with us right after this. We're going to thank our sponsors.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe, cleanup, 24-7, licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. And Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
All right, starting in 2024, the century, formerly the Century Tournament of Champions, officially kicks off the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup season. Join us, this is on the website, as we celebrate golf and honor the resilient people of Maui after the devastating wildfires in 2023. Pete McPartland is president and CEO, Century, title sponsor of The Century. Stephanie Smith, vice president of marketing and brand management, Century Insurance. And welcome into the clubhouse, Pete.
Thank you, Danielle.
It's good to have you. And Stephanie.
Good morning.
Good morning. And what's the weather like in Stevens Point?
Oh,
well, every time you ask us that question, of course, you're normally setting us up for some kind of a joke. But
no.
I will tell you, today the weather is probably as good as what you're experiencing. It's in the low 70s. It's dry. There's a beautiful breeze and not a cloud in the sky. So there.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that sounds, I've been to Century, the Stevens Point, and it is just amazing, your town of Stevens Point, and I can just feel it. It would be so nice to be walking down your streets and enjoying just the ambiance that is Stevens Point. It's awesome. And we're going to talk, though, this morning. You've committed to be the title sponsor of The Century, as it's now known, until 2035. And there is a commitment on the part of Century that really gives me chicken skin, goosebumps. And that's because one of the things I was wearing this morning, I was leaving the house, is my Connected Communities jacket. And the connected community between Maui and Stevens Point is what it's all about. Can you talk to that for a minute?
Sure. Well, thank you, Danielle. And again, good to be with you again. So, of course, our first year sponsoring the tournament, now called the Century, was the Century Tournament of Champions, was 2018. And on two occasions, we reaffirmed our love for the island of Maui, our love for the tournament itself, and extended. And as you mentioned, now our extension is through 2035. So at a minimum, there will be a total of, I want to say, 17 years of our sponsorship, mm-hmm. and probably well beyond that. So really beginning in about year two or maybe three, but I'm going to say two, we came to realize that our attachment to the island of Maui went a lot deeper than just things that people normally attach to it, which would be weather and beauty, of course, or in our case, great golf environment and great place to hold a tournament. And it had to do with falling in love with the people of Maui and managing to get quite close to them. So that, as you mentioned, led to a formalization of sorts of the relationship between the island of Maui and its leadership and the town of Stevens Point through an initiative that Stephanie drove called Connected Communities, which has been full throttle now for 3 years and gaining momentum. And essentially what it involves is a delegation of leaders from Stevens Point traveling to Maui every other year and then from Maui to Stevens Point on those other years. So every year getting together and kind of identifying joint issues that we can work on together, and a number of them are taking hold. So it's the chancellors of Maui, University of Hawaii, Maui College, engaging with the chancellor of UWSP and their faculty. It involves grade school kids collaborating on different things and forming friendships, boys and girls clubs, United Way leadership, the leadership of local breweries, farmers, and so on. So the communities really are connected at the leadership level, and there's so many things in common that people in Stevens Point, people in Maui have in common. A lot of Stevens Point people are now vacationing in Maui on their own, people that aren't even connected in any way to Century. So things have really gotten connected, and that led to the fire being quite a devastating experience within Stevens Point, and an emotional experience within Stevens Point because of the attachment and kind of family relationship that we'd come to develop with the people of Maui.
It's every time I'm shown the images that we see of what's left or what happened during the fire. And I think about the person who was holding the phone or the camera and filming those flames. And I'm thinking, I don't know how I would respond in that kind of a situation. And I'm just amazed at Mark Rolfing. Mark Rolfing was on the show and he just said, you know, and Century is making donations to the Maui community. And I went, Century is, you know, of course you are, but I mean, we haven't heard anything about that. You know, you do things the way we do it here. It's not big and gregarious. Oh, I'm giving you, you know, millions of dollars. You do it as one governor, quietly and effectively. And I'm just so thrilled. Can you tell us more about what those donations have been and what they're for?
Well, I'll let I prefer Stephanie do that, but I would just say in general what we decided, Danielle, to do immediately was get some money to the island to start helping them with the disaster recovery part of what was going on. So we gave money to the United Way. We gave money to the Maui Food Bank, which is a terrific food bank. And now we're in the process of kind of thinking about what we can do during the rebuild of Lahaina and the affected fire areas. And, of course, that rebuild is going to go on for years and years and years. And we're committed to this tournament for years and years and years. So our commitment will be ongoing, and I'm going to say long-term, based on how long it's going to take to rebuild the Lahaina area. So, yeah. Stephanie, you are more managing the details of what we're doing.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Well, of course, you know, we were as shocked as anyone to hear what was happening on Maui and devastated. The friends that we have made over the years, to know the kind of suffering that they are going through. Of course, the first thing on our minds was, is everyone safe? And fortunately, yes, everyone that we know and work with is safe, but they've lost their homes. Some have lost their businesses. The first thing we did is made a contribution to Maui United Way of $250,000. We decided early on we wanted to support nonprofits that we knew, that we trusted, that would get aid directly into the hands of impacted individuals. Nick Winfrey and the Maui United Way have been part of our Connected Communities initiative from the beginning, and we knew Nick would do exactly that, would understand where the need was on the island and have an effective way to begin to address it. We also gave $25,000 to Maui University of Hawaii Maui College. They have many students that are affected by the fire, and we wanted to start out helping them. I think one of the most rewarding things initially was talking to Nick as this was all unfolding, and he said the Connected Communities Initiative has really made a difference. Because of it, he knows Chancellor Lui Hoka'ana. And he called Chancellor Lui and said, we need a commercial kitchen. We need to be able to make food, to feed people. And Lui said, I've got one. Come over.
Wow.
So on top of that, I just spoke with Nick yesterday. They continue to do amazing things. So far, they have gotten $7 million into the hands of people affected.
Wow.
And he continues. He's actually working out of the University of Hawaii Maui College now, because they have so many people coming and helping from the National United Way, from the United Way in Northern California that has experienced fires. Their little office that didn't have enough room, so Louis opened the college campus to him. So really rewarding to know that the connections that we've made, you know, not only here with people in Stevens Point, but the connections that were made on Maui mm-hmm. are helping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pete mentioned the Maui Food Bank. So just last week, we gave $150,000 to the Maui Food Bank. Again, an organization that we know incredibly well. I am so impressed with the way the food bank runs the organization. They too are, as you know, first the fire was one issue, but now this tragedy is turning into an economic crisis mm-hmm. as tourism is falling and people are losing their jobs. So there is a growing need for assistance with food. And one other thing that I'm incredibly proud of, shortly after the fire began to be contained, we said to our associates, our retirees, our board members, you know, if you make a contribution to Maui United Way, we will match that contribution up to $50,000.
Wow.
Well, oh, just wait. So our employees and retirees and board members gave $107,000. And we decided to match it all.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
There's another $227,000 headed to Maui United Way as a result of the generosity of Century Associates retirees and our board.
Yeah, and the connected community between Stevens Point and Maui. You know, when you were doing scholarships for Maui students, which I'm sure you're still doing, with the hope
Absolutely.
They'll stay in Hawaii, with the hope they'll stay in Hawaii. That's been one of the biggest challenges, you know, keeping our mm-hmm. our young people in the islands, giving them a way to get a good education and then use that here so that we don't lose any more of our youngsters, you know, brain drain. It's, we need them all here. We need them all able to make a living and earn their way. So I've always known just your commitment, connected community, Stephanie, brilliant. And the two of you, Pete and Stephanie, you're an incredible team of people, and your whole group, all the board members, the retirees, the employees, the way you all work together is to be admired. And people should try to copy what you're doing because you have a family that you've created inside your business. And that's really the best way to run a business. And I sure hope people try to emulate you in that mm-hmm. way for a long time to come. So you're welcome. And a lot of people are asking me if, you know, and I think I know the answer because I went to the website and it says starting in 2024, this century will officially kick off the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup season. A lot of people, because as you said, Stephanie, a lot of folks are worried because, you know, business is down tremendously. You know, we're getting 30% of what we used to be getting on Maui of people going because the media, you know, God bless everybody who tries to get the word out on things. But things got kind of goofy because, you know, they don't realize that there is West Maui, which is Lahaina, and then there's the other side, which is just fine and open for business. And they could be generating dollars that then the county could then work on Lahaina, because not only does the home need to be built, the whole infrastructure of Lahaina has to be redone. The sewers, the water lines, the utilities. It's just an incredibly long-term job. It's not going to be done overnight. And of course, everybody who's lived in Lahaina for generations, they need to know that they're going to have Lahaina back, not some new multiple-story, you know, high-rises everywhere. They want Lahaina. And they've been told quite directly that they will have a say in how Lahaina is rebuilt. But it's going to take a lot of time. So back to, I digress, back to what I was getting at. People are asking me, is the Century going to be on this year because we really need it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there's nothing that should stop that at all. And we're going to be there. We're going to be staying with our guests at Kanapali Beach, one of the hotels there, as we have done. That's pretty close, as you know. To Lahaina, and we're going to bring all the guests that we otherwise would have brought. And so it's, as far as we're concerned, it's going on as expected. And we're looking forward to being a part of it.
Yes, absolutely. And something that I need to also say is to remind everyone listening that the governor has made it very clear, Governor Green has made it very clear that, you know, encouraging people to come to Maui to do what they've been doing on a regular basis, that no one who is now staying in a hotel or staying in a B&B or staying in whatever place they've found they will not be asked to leave because people are coming back. You know, they're not going to, okay, you're going to have to go now because we've got visitors coming in. No, that is not going to happen. So that's one of the most important things for the residents, West Maui residents, to know that they will not be displaced just because, but we need to get the business flowing and the business in the case of the Century, it's not just a tournament. It is a tournament. It draws attention to the islands. It is probably the best way to market the islands. People see it on television. But it's also a huge fundraiser for all of the different organizations that Stephanie Smith and Pete McPartland have been talking about, the organizations that have been so instrumental in getting food on the table, helping people find places to live, helping people get clothes. They don't have anything. They've lost everything. In a couple of days, some people will be going back and slowly seeing. And boy, I wish I could be in the line to hug people when they see and actually visually see the devastation, because that's going to be an emotional time. This is going to take a long time for all of us to recover from the fires on Lahaina. And that's why it's so important to know that we're still in a drought and we need to be very careful, you know, what we do in the islands when it comes to fires and barbecues. And you can't just throw your coals on a tree like a lot of people do. I'm sorry.
Right.
I've gone off here.
No, I'm...
Yes.
Those are all great points. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we bring our guests are excited to come. To your point, we know, as we've talked with state officials and county officials, we know how important the Century is to the island of Maui. And we think that this year's tournament will be a way, you're right, to... on one hand, encourage people to come and visit Maui and to, I'll say, shine a light on what's continuing to go on in Lahaina. You know, so easily things after the initial event, so easily they fall off the front page. They, you know, no longer the top of the news. But as Pete said, we know that this recovery effort will be going on for years and years. So I see two really important purposes for this year's tournament. You know, remind people that Maui is a phenomenal place to visit. South Maui is open now. In fact, I had dinner with friends last night who are going to visit South Maui next week. And we know that West Maui will open again in mid-October. And come visit the island. And while you're there, you know, give back. And that's what we'll do with our guests this year as well. We want to look for ways that we can provide service in addition to enjoying a very monumental golf tournament, because to your point, Danielle, it's the Century this year will kick off the FedEx Tour season. It's a signature event. We have 56 qualifiers so far. We may get a few more with the fall events, but This is a big deal.
Yes, it is a big deal, and it's exciting. I'm so excited about the Century being on, and you know, when I went to the website, I went, you know, it's going to be on. This is kind of a moot question, but I got to ask anyway for everybody who's listening, so they know that the Century is happening, and we are going to get the number one players, and I say that because they're all number one when they've won a tournament, and that's how you get to go play in the Century. So, you know, they're all going to be coming, and after watching the Ryder Cup and all of that, and then everybody coming over to Maui for the Century, it's just, I'm just really, really pleased and very happy. And I'm so, if I can say thank you for all the folks who can't say thank you directly to you, thank you so much for your commitment, for your connected communities. It was a brilliant idea, Stephanie. Thank you so much. And Pete, for your follow through on getting everything and just... intuitively knowing what needs to be done to be a good partner and doing business with the state of Hawaii. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Danielle, for giving us the opportunity.
Absolutely. Is there something you wanted to share that I haven't given you an opportunity to?
No, I don't think so. The tournament's January 4th through the 7th, and we're gearing up as we speak. This fire will redefine how we engage with the island of Maui, because, as you said, this is going to go on and on for a number of years, and it's kind of inspiring not just Sentry people, but Stevens Point community in general, in ways beyond what is connected to ourselves, to get behind us and reach out. And so there's a whole new level of awareness and sensitivity within central Wisconsin to the island of Maui that this whole connected community thing started, and it's just going to keep building and building and building. And I can't wait to get out there in January. Stephanie, you're going to be out there sooner than that as you get into the final planning process for the Sentry. And if there's anything that we can identify that we're not doing, we will do. And certainly we look to contribute in ways that are beyond kind of financial contributions in any way we can.
That's awesome. You're amazing. Thank you. Stephanie?
Yes.
I just thought, is there something you'd like to add?
I would say, yes, I'm looking forward to being on Maui, in West Maui shortly after it opens. And again, to Pete's point, this is really something that is inspired people across central Wisconsin. I have to tell you, just last week, the Boys and Girls Club here in Portage County has formed a relationship with the Boys and Girls Club on Maui. Unfortunately, the Boys and Girls Club on Maui burned. So, you know, Wisconsin tradition, last Friday, they had a brat fry for the community. Sold bratwurst, hot dogs, hamburgers. They raised $10,000. That they are sending to the Boys and Girls Club, and we matched that. So $20,000 from the Boys and Girls Club of Portage County is on their way to their partner club on Maui. It continues. It just continues.
Wow. Wow. Well, I have the biggest smile on my face. Pete McFarland, President and CEO, Sentry, the title sponsor of The Sentry, and Stephanie Smith, Vice President of Marketing and Brand Management. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse and talking with me and sharing all of this, of course, talking with the people of Hawaii. That's what we do. Thank you. I just thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you, Danielle. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Yes, yes. Aloha, and see you soon. All right, we're going to come back, and Claude Brousseau is going to work on our game. Yeah, you know, if you can't close the deal, if it's a three putt after you've just had a brilliant round, it hurts, and if not seeing that ball drop, it hurts. So he's going to help us. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Aloha Powers, last days of summer sale, Honda generators. Yep, Honda generators featuring the EU 2200, $1,399 with a free extended warranty. That's worth $200. Yep, got that big lawn crying out for attention. Maybe you've got a customer with acreage that needs a fire break. We've got riding mowers on sale for your job site or your home, because it's got to be done. Yeah, the wind's sometimes with us, sometimes gone, but you got to be ready. We've got Husqvarna riding mowers, big ones, 36-inch to 72-inch, all on sale, and we ship off-island. New shipments arrive daily. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station, in Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips, and tell them Danielle sent you.
Do you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing? Schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. It's the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning? Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or on the web at WaileaGolf.com. That's 808-870-1422.
The golf club tip number 47. When mad about your slice, don't hit the tree with your driver. Break it over your knee. Now back to the golf club with Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy at Wailea Golf Club on Maui. It's the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. He's a Golf Channel Academy lead coach, talent contributor with Sports Illustrated, with Morning Read. He's got two videos per month. Check it out. And Golf Digest certified instructor, Flight Scope certified instructor, Aimpoint Level 3 certified instructor, Vision 54 authorized coach, and V1 Sport coach ambassador. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you for the opportunity to be a guest on your show.
Absolutely. And I asked you for what would you like to share tips on, and you said putting, and I thought when I read, you know, Aimpoint Level 3, there are so many of the professionals using Aimpoint, if I may. Is that a good way for us regular golfers to learn how to putt better?
That's the only way. Oh, just kidding. but however, Danielle, it's yes, it is for every golfer because it's simple and it's very, very accurate and efficient. It's very, when you know how to do it, it's a faster way to read the green than anything else that I know of.
Wow.
And it's more efficient. So just a quick example. Let's say your ball is on the green. That would be part of the putting tip if you want. So let's say you park the cart. And then basically what I will say is go at the hole, then walk back to your ball. So you can gather information doing that basically. First, I strongly suggest to pace the puck. Meaning knowing the distance that you need to roll the putt at. Then when you walk, you will also feel with your body, anywhere in your body you want, feeling the slanted of the slope, which way the slope is, the green itself is tilted or slanted, okay? So that will give you the direction of your putt. So basically, Aimpoint, look at it this way, Danielle, just to be more specific on Aimpoint, is think of having Bushnell, but you don't need anything. You need the knowledge to do it, but it will allow you to quantify the break. So you will know this break, this putt in front of me now, it will break, let's say as an example, 6 inches from right to left. Or the next one on hole number 7, this one will break 3 feet from left to right. Then after that, you execute. So the youngest player that I helped with Aimpoint was back then, he's 12 now, but he was 7 years old. He's using it since. So yes, it's for everybody who plays the game who wants to read the green better.
You know, it all makes sense now to me because when you walk between your ball and the cup, which we always see, you know, and then your body, as you said, is collecting information about the slant or the change, however the lie of the land is. And that information now from your body is in your hands. And that's correct. That's the only way for you to actually deliver a good putt to drop.
Exactly. So then, the beauty of aim point is you can use it at different levels, I will say. Let's say just be able to identify which way the green is slanted or tilted, inclined. Just that will already help you to avoid. Your eyes will fool you because your eyes may tell you that the putt is going from left to right, but in reality, it's going from the other way.
Yeah.
So that's why your body doesn't lie to you. Now, everybody is different. So some players feel it more on the feet, some feel it in the knee, some it's more in the midsection of their body. But the key is, be able to identify first which way the ball will roll on the green. It's not true that the ball goes towards the ocean. The ball doesn't know where the ocean is. She knows gravity. So it will go towards the ocean only if the green portion of the green where the ball will roll will be tilted towards the ocean.
Yeah.
And then, as you know, and your listener as well, there is different direction that the same green can be slanted towards. So it's possible, let's say, the front of the green is, yes, going towards the ocean because the architects built the green with a slope tilted in that direction. But it's possible that the back right portion of the green, the architect decided to put the green slanted on the other direction. So, let's say, towards Maka, but the ball will go towards the mountain. It's not rocket science. It's called gravity.
Well, we're all just trying to be, as knowledgeable as possible. And it takes a PGA Master to help us really put things in perspective. And that's why Claude Brousseau is on the show with us. One of the points you make is that putting is the great equalizer in the game. And that's why, tell us more about that.
Yes, let's see. I wish we could have a ranking for just putting in the world. And then you, me, and all your listeners can participate with that. Because to be a great putter, everybody can be a great putter. Not everybody can do like Rory, carry his drive 320 yards. 60% of the time his drive is going 320 yards in the air. Sorry, my ball doesn't go there. And most of your listeners don't do that either because that's the first time on the PGA Tour that somebody does that. However, now everybody can be really, really good at 3-4 feet from the hole. If we look at the stats on the tour, let's see, it's interesting. From inside 5 feet, okay, the number one ranked player on the PGA Tour this season is Matt Fitzpatrick. He had 875 attempts. He made 862 of them. So that's 98%.
Wow.
Okay, so now, guess what? We may not reach that level. However, everybody can be really good from 5 feet in, and that's where you will save your three putts to score well. So for putting, is you need to avoid three putts. That's the killer, three and more putts. That's where your score goes high really rapidly. So basically, to avoid that, first you need to in putting, there's only direction and distance control. I will call that or speed control. So let's start with the direction. The direction of the ball is controlled by the putter face at the moment of impact. 90%, Danielle, that's a pretty big number, of what happened to the ball is due to the face of the putter at the moment of impact. The path where you move the putter is only responsible for 10% for the direction. Okay? Mm-hmm. So now, I got a couple little exercises that I will share with the listener here. So it's easy to do. So for your putter head control, you can just use a soda can or a bottle of water just before you go and play or when you practice. And then the goal is make that, let's say, soda can or that bottle of water roll only 1 foot. But it has to roll straight. So that will make you aware of what you do with your hands and wrists, because the hands and wrists control the club face. Then if you do it efficiently, you'll be amazed the can will roll straight like the ball will roll straight. So you can do it with first your two hands, and then if you want to challenge yourself a little bit more, just to educate your hands, you will be aware of which one takes over and make what the sensation that you may not want. So do some putt with your right hand only, do some with your left hand only, and then do some eyes closed. The goal in that is just making that can to roll straight. And then your intention is really just paying attention. Be mindful of what do you do with your hands and wrists that make the ball go in which direction. So that's one exercise that is easy to do. You can do it at the course. You can do it in your house. And that will make you more aware of the putter head.
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to put the can down,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to use my putter to make that can go straight.
Correct. Instead of putting with a ball, you putt with a soda can.
Right. It seems easier to hit such a big object and make it go straight.
Correct, but you will be amazed of how great the feedback you're receiving doing that.
Got it. Yes, yes, yes.
Because with the ball being only less than 2 ounces, sometimes it's more challenging for many golfers to be aware of what they're doing.
Yeah.
But the weight of the can, Danielle, will increase the feedback.
Got it. Now the weight of the can. Yes. Now mm-hmm. I can really feel mm-hmm. it because, you know, my hands are dumb. So they're not as fine-tuned as, let's say, a Tiger Woods' hand. You know, Tiger Woods can feel a grain of sand, but my hand needs a can until it learns. So what's the best way to teach your hands?
But that's one of them any other way to train your hands, yes, you can ask after that is, I will say do some putt with the ball and then voluntarily make some go to the left, some to the right.
Okay.
And then just be aware of what you do with it. Will say another way to train your hands. Then in the direction, I don't know how much time we have, but I will go quick on the direction. It's important to start the ball online after you read the putt. It doesn't do any good to start the ball online if you don't have the correct line to start it on.
Okay.
So that's why you need aim point to read the green to know where to start the ball.
There you go.
So first it's knowing where you want the ball to go, then be able to start it on that line.
Yeah.
So a quick exercise that you can do is you can find a slightly uphill putt, not any further than 5 feet from the hole, let's say. Then when you identify that spot on the green, you can use a Sharpie, let's say, and just make a little X there. That's where you will start every single putt towards the hole. Then between the X and the hole, about 6 inches there, you will either put two tees. The width in between the two tees will be to the width of two golf balls.
Okay.
You can put tees or a quarter on the green.
Yeah, I've seen people do this. Then, now I understand. Okay. I'm learning why they do it. Yes.
Okay. So now when they do that, they train on making sure that success is not necessarily the ball going in the hole. By the way, it's okay if it goes in the hole, correct, Daniel?
Yes. Yes.
But success is not ball in the hole. Yeah. Success is, are you able to get the ball rolling between those two objects? So that will also give you a way to train the club face.
And my hands, yes.
Yes, correct, and your hands, correct.
Yeah, so I like this.
Now, okay, so now if we go on distance is when players make more than two putts, let's say three, four putts and more, the issue is not the direction. It's they do not control their distance well. Okay, so the most important factor for the distance control, I would call that, or speed of the ball rolling, is you need to strike the ball in the middle of the club face, the middle of your putter. We call that centeredness of contact. That's the most important thing. Then secondarily will be the length of the putt and the speed of the swing that you're using. Okay. So now to train to get the sweet spot, something you can do again away from the course, so you can do it at the course, is finding the sweet spot. Easy way to do it, you can attach two rubber bands on your putter head and put the distance between the two rubber band about the width of a golf ball, or maybe just a little bit larger than that. Depending on your skill level, you can start wider and then you put it narrower and narrower as you get better. And then again, you find a slightly straight uphill putt, maybe 5 feet from the hole. And then the goal is knowing that if you strike the ball in the sweet spot, you won't touch the rubber band. However, if you practice, you need feedback. The goal of the rubber bands there is providing feedback. If you, let's say, hit too much towards the heel, but the ball will go sideways. I'm warning you, this is a frustrating one, but it's a very efficient one.
Well, I need to ask you a question, because you've produced multiple videos with Golf Channel 38, and you've done 18 videos with Sports Illustrated, and you do two a month with mm-hmm. All of a sudden they went out of Morning Read with Sports Illustrated's Morning Read.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, have you done any like this one that we're talking about, using the rubber bands or the cans? I think that would be terrific.
Daniel, I will do it tomorrow when I go back to work.
I think that's
the way I roll. Thank you.
Yeah, that would be terrific, because then I can, you know, hearing it, I get it and I want to see it. Claude Brousseau has produced 38 of these videos available at no cost on his website. You just go to claude4bestgolf.com, and it's a number four. Claude, number four, bestgolf.com. And you'll see the tab of videos, no charge. It's Golf Channel where they produce them. And then, so they're really well done, of course. 18 videos with Sports Illustrated, and you would go to SI.com. That's a more complicated one for the search engine, but basically SI.com, golf, and Claude Brousseau is in there too. So really, and if you want to get in touch with Claude, his number is 808-856-9458. 808-856-9458. Realize your golfing potential by staying on the course of better golf with Claude Brousseau. Thank you so much for being in the clubhouse. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much, Daniel. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back and we're going to talk with Guy Kaʻulukukui. He's just, Aloha Section PGA held its annual Hawaii Golf Industry Conference on Wednesday of this past week. We're going to be back and talk about some of the things that might even apply in your business. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
MD Restoration,
24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair.
Mold remediation.
Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now,
get MD cleaned.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the other side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Guy Kaulukukui, founder of Kiala Pono LLC. The focus is on community and government relations and cultural policies. PhD in economics and a Kamehameha Schools graduate. Welcome into the clubhouse, Guy.
Good morning, Danielle, and good morning to everybody listening, especially Naya, who I know is listening in the car right now. So,
awesome.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. The Aloha Section PGA held its annual Hawaii Golf Industry Conference on Wednesday of this past week, and we heard from a number of successful businesses, including Hawaiian Airlines, about how the golf industry might be able to incorporate some of their ideas. Hawaiian Airlines made some terrific points, but sometimes it's kind of difficult to make that connection since they're flying and we're on the ground. But during the panel discussion, you, Guy Kaulukukui, fielded some questions from the audience, and one of them sparked some pretty serious discussion about how to grow the game, but not from the junior golfers. You know, we talk about growing the game. It's been an initiative in the golf industry for 15 years, getting kids into the game. The question was, how do we keep the older kids, the 20-somethings, the 25-somethings, in the game? How do we get them to come back to the game? And it was kind of interesting because didn't she challenge everybody to look around the room and note the complexion of the participants, Guy?
And the age.
That's what I meant.
Yes. I think, and I got to, you know, I have to cop to falling in that category myself. So it's looking in the mirror. But I think that's part of the problem. We've been looking in the mirror a really long time and seeing what we like and not making any kind of change. You know, put it into context, the last time the local industry did an economic assessment of itself was in 2007.
Wow.
So that's a long time ago. And in 2007, the number one takeaway from that conference that you sat in on Wednesday was we need to be more embracive of the younger generation so we can build this game on the back end, on the bottom end, because we know that older golfers inevitably will leave the game. So that's, what, 15, 16 years ago. Fast forward to Wednesday, we're still talking about it. The challenge this time is going to be, is the industry really going to do something about it?
And that's the question. I saw a lot of the older participants in the room kind of not knowing which way to go with this. You know, what do you do to get the 20-somethings, the 25-somethings to get into the game? And many of them already do. I mean, weren't you instrumental with Top Golf moving in that direction?
Yeah. When I was at the city, we were able to actually reach an agreement with Top Golf to be here at the All White Golf Course. And a variety of things ended up happening that slowed it down. But the biggest problem, really, from my perspective, was the COVID shutdown. And COVID hit Top Golf very, very hard nationally. They had a difficult time. And my understanding is the project went initially on hold. Our term in office ended in 2021. By the time the economy was coming back and the industry was coming back from the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, Topgolf eventually pulled the plug totally on Alawai. That's my understanding. I didn't actually realize that till seeing it reported in the news. I think it was back in April or May.
Wow. Yeah, a disappointment, because that's exactly, I don't know how a golf course incorporates what a Top Golf does, but that's what's needed.
It's the kind of thing, right? I mean, it was a prepackaged way of creating golf entertainment. So it's golf, it's music, it's food, all in one place. And in our example, in Hawaii, it would have been also on a golf course, which would be unique for Top Golf facilities. So we did think it was a way to start to grow the game. I think, as you mentioned, there's in Hawaii, we're very fortunate to have, I think, a strong golf program for kids and teenagers. And we've seen many great examples come through those programs and succeed nationally, either as amateurs in college or as professionals. So that they do a great job. There is nothing like that to keep 20-year-olds in the game who might have learned it earlier or are trying to learn it now, right? The barriers to entry to golf traditionally have seemed to be high. Most people don't learn it through this process of being taught by a PGA or LPGA professional as a child. You know, most people have access to the game through a family member, a mother, a grandparent, a cousin, somebody who let them start, because it's a difficult thing to start. If you don't have that, it's almost as if there's no way for you in. And that's what we have to create, is a portal for the folks who don't have a way in on their own.
And all of this, you know, make the game fun, give them options.
Right?
It doesn't have to be 18 holes of golf. It could also be at first on the driving range.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's on par three courses. And, you know, I wouldn't even discount mini golf. I mean, it's a variety of different ways to begin to get a club in your hand, to hit a golf ball and get excited about doing that. And then wanting to do it on a larger and larger scale. I mean, we as an industry have to ask yourself, what are the important parts of the game that need to transcend this change, which I do believe we have to go through in order to bring this group in.
Right.
What do we want to come out the other end with that looks very much like it does now? And what can we change? And, you know, a lot of it is just we do it because it's always been done. Like, is it really important to have a collar on your shirt to get on a golf course?
Yeah.
It is for some courses, and for some courses it isn't. But I can tell you most courses require it.
Collared shirt.
Even though it might not be really necessary if you start to think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the history of the game that's so vitally important. It's what makes golf, golf, and a beloved game that the whole family can participate in, all together. Generations can play together. It's probably right. The only game that generations can play together. But we do have, you know, an obsession with how you look and what you're wearing. So maybe a golf course could have a dress, you know, play as you dress or dress as you whatever.
Right. Or a casual Friday, you know,
yes.
Something.
There you go.
Something to test the waters. Now, I also do know that there are groups of millennials who are playing, who do embrace the dress and the attire, and it's a thing, and different manufacturers like Under Armour is already tapping into that. So it's not like we've got a millennial will only come on the course if they can come on with their T-shirt and board shorts. That's not what we're saying. But maybe we do have a T-shirt and board short day.
Yes. Just to let the hair down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I use the example at the conference of sort of a spectrum. And if you're familiar with golf and professional golf, and so on one end of the spectrum is the very traditional Masters, very traditional. On the other end is the Phoenix Open, you know.
Yes.
Chaotic sometimes. They sure look like that audience sure looks like they're having a lot of fun. Somehow the PGA has allowed some behavior there that doesn't typically happen at most of its tournaments. You don't see too many times people throwing their empty beer cans on the green on any other tournament, but it happens there. So there's room. And I'm not saying that's where we need to go. But as I said on Wednesday, if it's a spectrum, I think we need to be leaning more toward the Phoenix Open kind of crowd than for the Masters crowd if we want to change the complexity of who's playing the game.
Speaking of, I just wanted to depart from golf for a second because I think this is really important. When Keith Vieira was talking, he was on the panel, you know, golf is good for tourism. Folks who come here to play golf spend more. It's family oriented. Hawaii and golf, you know, it's healthy, it's green, it's outdoors. All of those points were made. And then something came up that, you know, I didn't realize, and I don't know if my audience has thought much about the TAT. what does TAT stand for?
So that's the transit accommodation tax. So it's one of the taxes on visitors or even us when we go and stay in a hotel room in Hawaii.
Yes. Okay. 10% of that. Well, wait a second. It would be nice if any of that was used for marketing. And that floored me. Tell us about what that TAT is used for.
Well, the TAT accrues to the counties. The counties can allocate it out. It's ideally should be used to create and enhance Hawaii as a tourist destination, right? And I think Kalani Kana'ana, he was in particular, he kind of echoed, right, what
yes.
he said. Nothing is coming to HTA from that tax for them to do their work, and that it ought to be coming from that tax for them to do their work. And we can't just rely on Hawaii's reputation to carry, you know, to carry the day, especially if we're trying to focus in on the tourist as a better steward of the aina when they get here. That's something you have to learn, and that's something that you learn through the marketing activity of agencies like the HTA, but also the hotels themselves.
Right, and that's really important today because there are lots of people who say, oh, fewer tourists when during the shutdown, during COVID, that was great. You know, that was great. But the problem is we chose a long time ago, the state did, to have tourism be our number one income. And after that, military, and after that, agriculture. You know, so if we're going to have tourism and we want them to come and spend their dollars, but we want them to behave, we have to teach them the proper behavior, wouldn't you think?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, and the but what is, so the TAT goes to the counties and they do whatever they want with that money. They don't necessarily have to spend it on marketing. I get
correct.
You. Yeah, got it. Correct. Okay, well, I wish, you know, Kalani Ka'anaana was really very, very good in his conversation about getting back to golf, having a good time on the golf course. He said, you don't have to have fire dancers on the green.
Right.
I found that to be very charming, and that's exactly right.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to have the industry remember is they already allow people to have a lot of fun on the golf courses. And I'm sure you've been involved in a variety of different, you know, golf tournaments or scrambles that are normally put on by large industry groups. It's not unusual to find multiple food trucks parked on the course with, you know, complimentary food. A DJ blasting music that you can hear for several holes, food tents. I mean, that already happens periodically over the course of the year. And all we're suggesting is it ought to just happen more. That, you know, the average golfer, especially the millennial golfer, they're not finding their way into those tournaments because the buy-in is so expensive, right? Each foursome could cost over $1,000. So yeah, they're not there, and they don't see that. But basically, that's what we're saying. If you can do that, you know, whatever, 7 times out of the year, why can't you do it 12 times?
Yeah,
24 times.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Why can't it always be that way?
It'd be great to have the $5 bento wagon out there. You know, the one that's over at KCC.
Oh, right. and there's really no reason except for choice and tradition that we don't have that. I mean, it's in fact the cost-effective way to bring a variety of food to the golf experience without having it, you know, your own restaurant, which you really don't need.
So going back to the Aloha Section PGA holding its annual Hawaii Golf Industry Conference, what was your biggest takeaway?
So, well, I think it's the one thing that much of the discussion focused around was the average age of golfer in our sample, which came out to be 65 years old. And the biggest issue with that is that nationally that number is significantly lower. I think it's 46 for core golfers in the country. That's a population of about 12 million golfers. So two things. One is we want to go back in and survey again to make sure that our number is right. I think it is. And then you were there, I think, at the beginning when we used Mentimeter and we allowed the room to cast, like, their vote on certain questions. And I led off with that question, what do you think is the average age of the golfer in Hawaii? And one category was, like, 60 to 65. I don't think they nailed that one, which is where it was. But they were off by 5 years. I think they were 5 years a little bit younger, like 55 to 60 was their guess. So the folks who got the eyes on the game every day, in their mind, that, you know, the golfer is older. The golfer is a veteran, is mature. It's not that, you know, the average golfer in Hawaii is not 40 years old. And so with that in mind, we have to start to take the steps now to create a path for the golfer who's going to retire from the game to be replaced by a younger golfer coming in the pipeline. And we can't let that just happen organically, because it hasn't happened organically over the last 15 years. But more importantly, as an industry, the industry needs to step towards the golfer, meet them where they are, that younger golfer, and bring them into the game. Not stay the way it is and expect that golfer just to walk through the pro shop door and pay their green fee. I don't think it's going to happen that simply.
No, it's not. And I think this isn't the first industry that's discovered that you have to accommodate the younger generation, give them what they're looking for in addition to what you have to offer. So you have to figure it all out. And it, you know, a lot of folks here in Hawaii in the golf industry don't have to worry too much about that because of the visitor industry. But we can't always depend on the visitor industry, nor can we attract if we don't always market. Like, I see so many marketing companies. I'm going to be talking to a gentleman, Steve Pike, owner and editor of Spike on Golf and Travel. He's going all over the world, and he's always talking about, you know, the greatest place in Bahamas. And I look at the pictures that he brings back, and I'm like, wow, that is absolutely spectacular. And, you know, we have absolutely spectacular things to offer, too. And we're in the United States, which makes us a safe destination. But we can't take things for granted. So I really applaud the Aloha Section PGA working toward getting more young people in. And I thank you very much, Guy Ka'ulukukui, because I think you handled everything, the panel, just the whole day very well. And you're a great speaker. And I thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for the time. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Guy Ka'ulukukui is founder of Keala Pono, focuses on community and government relations and cultural policies. We'll be back after this with Steve Pike. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Aloha Power's last days of summer sale. Really? Yes, it is. Honda generators featuring EU2200, $1,399, and you get a free extended warranty. That's $200 value. Less than the big box stores. Got that big lawn that's crying out for your attention. Boy, maybe you've got a customer with acreage, needs a fire break. We've got riding mowers on sale for your job site, your home, because it's got to be done. The winds are still with us, you know, at times, 15 to 20 today, hopefully, along with the fires, unfortunately. We've got riding mowers, big ones, from the 36-inch to the 72-inch, and they're all on sale. We ship off-island, too. New shipments, they're arriving daily. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station in Waipahu, too. We put power at your fingertips. Tell them Danielle sent you.
Do you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing? Schedule a session with Coach Claude Brusseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. It's the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning? Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or on the web at waileagolf.com. That's 808-870-1422.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Jack's Bay, the Bahamas, the first Nicholas Heritage Course, Jack's Bay. Gosh, it's beautiful. JW Marriott San Antonio Hill Country Club. You got a TPC San Antonio there. The Canyons and the Oaks. Welcome into the clubhouse. It's Steve Pike, owner, editor, Spike on Golf and Travel. His website is Spike.com. on golfandtravel.com. Welcome in.
Hello, Danielle. How are you?
Good. Fabulous. It's Saturday, and we're talking golf, so it's a wonderful day. Now, you talk about how, multiple award-winning journalist, author who helped define golf business reporting in the early 1990s, Spike has climbed the volcanoes in the Canary Islands, swam with the sharks off Guadalupe Island, ascended the Great Wall of... Let's go back to those volcanoes that you've climbed. When are you going to come and climb the volcano that right now is an absolutely amazing sight to see, the eruption at Mauna Loa?
Well, I haven't climbed it, but I've certainly seen it at Volcanoes National Park out there. Love to get out there and see it again because it is spectacular at night.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's spectacular during the day now because it's actually fountaining. It's just amazing.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful thing to see regardless of where you see it. Fortunately, the volcano in the Canary Islands called Mount Tiete hasn't erupted since 1909. And really... It's technically an active volcano, but I don't think it has any intentions of erupting anytime soon.
Yeah, and knock wood, because right now Mother Nature being real crazy.
Yes, it's 12,000 feet, so I think it's the third largest volcano structure in the world outside of Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea.
Wow!
And if it were to go. Sort of all the doomsday prophecies or prophesiers would probably be correct.
Okay. We are KORL Y and I, Honolulu. So I was looking at, let's go to Jack's Bay, the Bahamas. That is
okay.
I went to their website, and boy, that is gorgeous.
Yes, it's on a spectacular piece of land on the south side of Eleuther Island in the Bahamas. A lot of the development on Eleuther Island, which is, I believe, about 50 miles or so from Nassau, which is on another island, most of the development on Eleuther is on the northern end of Eleuther. And this is on the southern end of Eleuther in the Rock Sound area. And it's on a, like I said, a spectacular piece of land. Some of it juts out to different points on the ocean. And there's going to be one hole in particular, which, if memory serves, is going to be the ninth hole, which is going to be a par five that is going to be just spectacular as the green is going to be perched on top of this cliff overlooking the ocean. That course will be built sometime next year. Right now there's a course there that Tiger Woods built. It's a 10-hole par 3 course that has ocean views from every hole. It plays out toward the ocean as you go out from the clubhouse, and then when you come back in, you still see the ocean on every hole, but because of the easterly winds, the last three or four holes get to be particularly tough because of the winds and because it's an uphill climb and you have to walk. There are no carts.
No carts? Is that the one that's called the playground?
That's the playground. Yes, it is.
And the holes range from 71 to 163 yards. I want to play.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fun.
It is, and like I said, the biggest challenge there is just being able to navigate the winds in the last three or four holes. If you're a little bit worn out going out when you're coming back in, those last three or four holes, like I said, they go uphill, and you have to be in kind of pretty good shape to be able to fight the elevation change and the wind.
It sounds to me like you've brought us two golf courses that are a challenge. The JW Marriott San Antonio Hill Country Club talks about, they've got two different courses there?
They have the Oaks course, and they have the Canyon course.
So is
and,
it the
that's, yeah. That's where the Valero Texas Open is held.
Right, the TPC San Antonio, the Texas the Valero TPC Open. And
yeah.
Is it on the Oaks course, the Valero Open?
Oh, gosh. I believe it's the other course.
On the canyons?
I believe it is, but don't hold me to that.
Wow.
Because I can't really remember off the top of my head.
I don't blame you. You're all over the world. How do you do that?
Well, actually, I to be honest, I turn down more than I take, and you just sort of able to, you just after so many years, you're able to manage your time in terms of the best story opportunities and what's best for what you can contribute. You know, journalistically and story-wise, to the property that you're going to, and again, what makes the best story? You know, what story is there to tell?
But in it, sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I was going to say around the Hill Country, there's lots of great stories to tell because the J.W. Marriott Hill Country is, you know, in San Antonio, north of the Riverwalk and the Alamo. But if you go a little bit farther to the north around Austin, you know, there's everything to start with there. And then you can go around what's called the Texas Wine Trail, which goes from Austin to Fredericksburg through the Hill Country.
Wow.
Through the land that Lyndon Baines Johnson grew up in and the Garrison Brothers Distillery for whiskeys there. There's over 40 wineries.
Wow.
Up and down that around the Texas the Hill Country, I'm sorry, it's called the Hill Country Wine Trail, and lots of great stories, lots of great barbecue, and lots of history, lots of good things to see.
Yeah, it sounds like I'd need a driver because you know all those wineries.
Yeah, a lot of them are mom and pop wineries.
Yeah,
they're not very big, but there's a couple of them like the Carter Creek Winery, which has a small resort. And a winery and a big yard where they have barbecues and concerts and that kind of stuff. That's just on the other side of Johnson City, along the wine trail.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of opportunities, there. And when you go back to the resort, the J.W. Marriott Hill Country Resort, there's a 9-acre water park. And remembering that everything is bigger in Texas, the pool area at the resort is so big it has 1,000 chairs around it.
for that intimate experience.
Exactly. But it's a great headquarters to explore everything in the Hill Country.
Yeah, well, yes, because there's SeaWorld, there's shops at La Cantera, there's the Natural Bridge Caverns, there's Six Flags Fiesta Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
You could spend a month there and have a blast.
And there's all the barbecue, famous barbecue places all around there. There's some of my favorite In-N-Out burgers that are there, of course, in Texas. And if you go into Austin in that area, there's the places, the caves where every night at dusk the bats come out.
The bats?
Thousands of bats.
Wow.
Come out of the cave at night. Yeah.
And that's a tourist attraction?
It's a tourist and a local attraction. Yeah, they pretty much make it a tailgate party.
That's amazing. All right. As always, you've opened my eyes. In about 60 seconds, which is all we've got left in the show before I have to thank the people who make it possible. Why aren't you a big fan of the Ryder Cup?
Oh, why am I not a big fan of the Ryder Cup? I think it's overhyped. I mean, we hear about it for 2 years before it's actually played. I don't think we need to hear, or at least in my opinion, is I get a little bit tired of hearing about who the captain's going to be and then who the vice captains are going to be. That goes on for 2 years. Do we really need to know that? And I think right after this event will end in a couple of, next week, actually, 10 days, whenever it ends, next week, yes. We're going to start hearing about who the next captain is and who's going to be on the team. And it's not for 2 years. Do we really need to know that? You know. And my big question, too, for one of the biggest stars and a PGA champion in the early 90s was John Daly. John Daly was never on the team. Why not?
What? John Daly was never chosen to be on a Ryder Cup team?
No, no. And if you're trying to make it, if you're trying to make it a made-for-TV event and draw viewers and draw fans and spectators, you know, create buzz for the event, John Daly's the perfect guy to have on the team.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, you know, it is one of the things that bothers you, the way they select the team, you know. But it's really not the captain who selects the team. It's really the team that selects the team, the ones that have automatically gotten into the Ryder Cup. And then
it's the ones who – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go. You go.
No, it's the ones who automatically get in, who qualify through various criteria, and then the captain's choice.
Hello? Oh, dear. Did we lose you? It appears we have lost signal. So I really thank you, Steve Pike. It's always fun talking with you. And I'm sorry I can't tell you this directly, but I will be sure to send you a note because I have to close now and thank the people who make this show possible. I want to thank, first off, Claude Brousseau, PGA Master Director of Player Development at Wailea Golf Academy, the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii, for some really great golf tips. The putting game is what we talked about on the show. And if you'd like to hear the show, you can always go to radiogolfclub.com, and that'll show you the listen link, and that's where all the podcasts are stored, every show. So if you want to listen, you can, or you can get it to, you know, the whatever service, podcast service that you use. Thank you, Aloha Power Equipment, the new megastore next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava. They've got some great end of summer sales going on right now, featuring the EU 2200, just $13.99 with a free extended warranty. That's worth $200 right there. MD Restoration, flood from the inside or out. Flood, fire, disaster? Yeah, you need help immediately. And MD Restoration is on it. They'll not only do the cleanup, they can do the repair because they're licensed contractors. So, you know, you get to know the guys coming in and out of your house. So why not just keep the same guys coming in and out of your house while they do the repairs? Rainer Garage Doors, we love you. And we're honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. You heard it today. We have so much is invested in the game of golf here in Hawaii. And the Aloha Section, they work hard to make sure that their members and the people where their members are working get what they need to sustain the industry. And, you know, I want to thank you for your mana because, you know, you're here with me and it's a week every Saturday morning, we're up together. I want you to hit the sweet spot every time because I know, you know, I wish I could hit the sweet spot every time, but that's what I'm wishing for you. So one more time, to find the show, it's at radiogolfclub.com/listen. Partly sunny skies. Yes, I have about 40 seconds. Partly sunny skies, windward and Mauka sections scattered to numerous showers in the morning. Boy, the windward side got a lot of rain. And then isolated showers in the afternoon. Leeward side, isolated showers in the morning, scattered showers in the afternoon. High today, between 85 and 90. And the trade winds, a lovely 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy in the evening and then partly cloudy with scattered to numerous showers windward and Mauka if you're planning a hike. My name's Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.